A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host for this journey into issues facing the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues these organizations are facing. Today, we'll hear about how the New York Philharmonic is sharing its 175th anniversary with the entire city by exploring Dvorak's New World Symphony, inviting other ensembles and school children to discover the work and make it their own. My guests will be the Philharmonic's Vice President of Education, Ted Wiprud, and archivist and historian Barbara Hawes. We'll also hear from two Staten Island teachers who have been using the curriculum developed by the Philharmonic to explore Dvorak and related themes of immigration and coming home. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. A Princeton graduate was among this year's six winners of the Metropolitan Opera's National Council Auditions, recognized as a major launching pad for future opera stars. Countertenor Aria Nussbaum-Cohen of Brooklyn was one of the nine finalists who rose through the regional ranks to make the national auditions, held March 19th at the Met. The other five winners were mezzo-soprano Samantha Hanke of Marshfield, Massachusetts, sopranos Kirsten McKinnon of Vancouver, British Columbia, and Vanessa Vasquez of Scottsdale, Arizona, and tenors Richard Smagger of Clarksville, Georgia, and Kyle Van Schoonhoven of Lockport, New York. In its review, the New York Times called Cohen a complete artist who stood apart from the pack. The winners each received a cash prize in the amount of $15,000, in addition to the exposure and potential for moving their professional careers forward. The Houston Symphony has extended its contract with music director Andres Orozco Estrada through the 2021-2022 season, adding another 3 years to the relationship that began 3 years ago. The Colombian-born conductor is the orchestra's 15th music director. The fate of Westminster Choir College may be sealed this coming week when the Board of Trustees of Rider University meets March 28th to discuss whether the college will be moved from its Princeton home to the main Rider campus in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. The board is scheduled to review a study launched late last year into the options for the choir college as Rider struggles to stem debt and curb expenses of its own operations. Westminster has been a part of Rider since 1992. Constance Fee is president of the Coalition to Save Westminster Choir College.
What we would like to hear is that they will hold off on selling the campus and give us an opportunity to find another affiliation.
The Coalition represents Westminster alumni, parents, students, and other concerned community members, and it recently announced that it is seeking to form a nonprofit organization to continue the push to keep Westminster on the Princeton property, which has been its home since 1932. Rider President Gregory Delomo is expected to provide students with an update from the board meeting Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. at Hillman Hall on the Westminster campus. Christine Brown, a spokeswoman for Rider, did not respond to an email request for comment. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. As it marks its 175th anniversary this year, the New York Philharmonic has been exploring Antonín Dvořák's Symphony No. 9 from the New World and inviting the whole city to come along on its exploration of the music and its themes. Through this New World initiative, the Philharmonic invited New York-based ensembles to perform the work or related arrangements in any genre and promoted the performances through a special calendar of events. The Philharmonic has also launched a composition challenge, asking New York City-based composers to create works of 3 minutes or less influenced by musical themes from the symphony. In addition, a related curriculum was developed for school children through the Philharmonic's Young People's Concert for Schools series. I spoke recently with Ted Wiprud, who's Vice President of Education, and Barbara Hawes, the Philharmonic's archivist and historian. Hawes said the idea of opening the New World Initiative to the whole city came directly from the musicians.
They wanted to broaden the whole celebration, the idea of the celebration, the participation in the celebration from what we've done in the past, which has been basically focused on ourselves, highlighting all of our great achievements, how long we've been around, all the great world premieres, major tours, that sort of thing. So the idea came up, let's see how we can really involve the city itself. And their idea was to do something that other cities have done, which was something called One Score, One City. So where everybody, like in the book clubs, the citywide book clubs, they would in some way be involved in this single work. It was sort of left up to Ted and I then to figure out what that meant and how to really implement something like that. For the first time, though, in the Philharmonic's history, we have programmed the New World Symphony at three different times throughout the season. Never has there been this repetition that gave us a great kind of continuity, a thread throughout the season that we could start to kind of hang different events on. So Alan Gilbert conducted the New World Symphony on opening night. Ted will talk more about this, has focused all the school day concerts and the young people's concert on the New World Symphony. And then it culminates the season with free concerts in the park in all boroughs. And Alan Gilbert will be conducting again then. And so the whole kind of focus was on, well, okay, how do we get others involved with it? And the New World turned out to be a perfect work for us in that it has a not only just an instrumental arrangement of the work, but it also has a choral side to it. And so that different choruses, church groups, individuals could sing Going Home. And that was just a wonderful way then of involving more and more amateur, semi-professional, even professional groups in New York City to be involved. And much to our surprise, last summer we had a couple of college interns working on creating the list of musicians that we would approach, or the list of musical groups who self-identified as music groups in the city. And I thought maybe there'd be a couple hundred, and there were well over 800 different groups. And that didn't even start us into the area of rock and roll groups or garage bands and that kind of thing.
Well, tell us a bit about the range of some of these performances that you've heard about and been told about.
There's symphony orchestras. I mean, the Greenwich Village Symphony Orchestra, I think, was the first group to really perform. The UN has chamber group that's going to be coming up and performing. There's the musical saw lady who plays the Largo theme on her saw, which is really very beautiful.
The Brooklyn Interdenominational Choir.
Interdenominational chorus in Brooklyn. So does one stick out more than the other? I don't think so. I think it's just great to see. And then there's children's choruses and children's groups. We just had a group of, maybe that was from up in Westchester, who just did quite a few as well.
There has been a very strong school component and community-wide component of this. How have you been able to bring this exploration into the schools and directly to young people?
Yeah, well, as Barbara said, this theme of the New World Symphony provided like a through line through the season toward which we could direct a lot of the activities that would be going on anyway, right? So for about 20 years now, we've been doing young people's concerts for schools where we create curriculum for classrooms to study a piece, become very familiar with the social issues around the piece, the music itself, related music, before they come to the concert. And so we turned our attention to the New World Symphony. It's a piece that I've always wanted to do for schools because the story around it is such a rich story about American culture, about New York City, and about the development of classical music in the late 19th century. So, yeah, we went ahead and created curriculum around the New World Symphony. In fact, it was the first time that we created different curriculum for high schools as opposed to elementary schools. So we were having a meeting early in the planning of all this, maybe 9 months ago, or with someone from the Office of Social Studies at the New York City Department of Education, and someone from the Office of Arts and Special Projects, who was the director of music for the city. And we were talking a lot about where the social studies curriculum fits in and how we could do professional development for social studies teachers around this work.
We have the original manuscript parts that were used in 1893. And so, you know, they're sort of magical because they're these iconic items and you can look at them and you can see where the musicians were marking them. And as Dvorak was sitting in rehearsal and Anton Seidl, a conductor, was on the podium, and they were working through the problems of this brand new work. And they're the parts. After Ted and I were going on and on and on talking about this, Barbara Murray picked up one of those parts and she said, this is what every child in the New York City school system should learn next season.
Yeah.
And Ted and I went, wow,
great idea. And it has come to pass. So the All City Orchestra is working on this piece, and social studies, professional development, sure enough, included looking at the New World Symphony as a subject area for particular grades. Then our curriculum went to schools all over the city and beyond the city. And about 13,000 kids and teachers came to hear the concerts where we presented the symphony kind of in the style of the curriculum that we presented that the kids had prepared with.
Well, what are some of the aspects of that curriculum and some of the issues that this gives the school children the chance to explore and relate to the music, perhaps in new ways?
A big theme of the study, the New World Symphony, is the question of what is American music. Dvorak was invited here by Jeanette Thurber, not only to become the head of the National Conservatory of Music, but also to help American composers develop an American sound, a distinctive style of composing. And when he came, he asked why everybody was trying to sound German, because of course that was the style at the time. American composers went to Germany to study. That was mainstream music. He said, why are you trying to sound German when you have great music right here? And he was referring to African-American spirituals and the folk music of America in general, because he had based a Czech national style on Czech folk music. So a big theme of the classroom curriculum was listening to African-American spirituals as well as Czech folk music and finding what's in common and what's different. And how much did Dvorak's style change in writing something like the Largo from the New World Symphony? Then in the concert itself, we pick up on that by having an African-American baritone who could really sing these spirituals.
Beautiful.
And, you know, he'd sing part of a spiritual and then sing Going Home, which is, of course, the Largo of the New World Symphony with words put to it by someone else. They weren't original to Dvorak. And, you know, it really comes through how much Dvorak was influenced by that. And that helps you think about American culture in a different way, right? Dvorak came from abroad and was able to see something that the people here hadn't been able to see because they were too close to it. You know, they assumed that to be a serious composer, you had to go to Europe. And, you know, he enabled Americans to see that it was right here, everything they needed. And that actually, again, you know, was like a prophecy that came to pass, because if you think about all the important original American music that's come about in the 20th century, you know, most of it is rooted in African-American music. He actually had it exactly right.
Well, you also used in the curriculum, too, you know, the controversy that arose when he actually, you know, put forward the idea that we should embrace the African-American sound in the classical composing environment. And that just set off all kinds of furor in the press. And so it also is very rich in terms of discussing where is America at that time. And in some ways you say, oh my gosh, you know, this looks so forward thinking, even in the controversy. An interesting aside is that, you know, how did Dvorak even become aware of this? And one person that was incredibly influential on him is a man named Harry Burley. The conservatory, Jeanette Thurber, was also one of the most enlightened and forward-thinking people you could imagine. It's fascinating to see all these people coming together at the same time, because Jeanette Thurber set up a music conservatory that was open to all people of all races and all sexes. So, you know, she was the first to allow women, you know, to come into a conservatory. And one of the people that went to the conservatory was Harry Burley, who was the grandson of slaves and who sang spirituals to Dvorak. And that was one of the ways that he heard those. But we also have learned that Dvorak also did a lot of reading about Negro melodies, for instance. And there was a essay that he read that was penned by someone with the name of Johann Tonsor, which ended up being a pseudonym because they were Johann Tonsor from Kentucky, and there was no such person that lived in Kentucky. And it turned out that Johann Tonsor was really Mildred Hill. And you may know of Mildred Hill because she and her sister Patty Hill wrote the most famous work ever to have been written, and that is Happy Birthday. And so what it turns out is that Mildred Hill was actually a specialist. She was a musicologist, but she was also a specialist in Negro melodies and wrote about this. And Dvorak had her essay. And so when you think about, well, one of the composers of Happy Birthday is also involved in this whole story. You can't make that up. It's just too great.
Well, there is a composition element to the New World Initiative. There are two parts of that. The first is the composition challenge that was recently announced for composers in the New York area. Tell us about what you're looking for and what type of response you've started to get.
What we're looking for is for people to reinterpret the Largo, the famous Going Home melody, in their own world, in their own musical world, perhaps reflecting on what going home might mean to them, leaving home.
I think we had some people saying, well, yeah, but I really like the fourth movie.
All right,
that's
okay,
what I want to write. You know, what inspires me? And so we decided, as long as we can hear something from when we listen to this work, after they submit it, as long as we can hear some reference to any part of the symphony.
The point is for people really to own the piece, to make it their own and show it to us the way they hear it. And so we really hope that we're going to be getting submissions in all kinds of styles. You know, it could be a salsa version of the scherzo, or it could be a, you know, hip hop version of Going Home. We're really hoping for stylistic diversity. What people are invited to submit is actually a recording of their version of the thing. So it's not at all that we're looking for scores for the New York Philharmonic to perform. We're looking for actual performance vitality coming out of the neighborhoods, out of all kinds of groups, you know, from bluegrass to gospel. The deadline is in April, so I can't give you an update yet on what we're getting. But we did get a whole lot of similar work coming from our schools because they were invited to do a similar thing before the Young People's Concerts for Schools in January, where they submitted specifically the Largo theme, Going Home, and we invited them to reinterpret that with their own words, because a guy named William Arms Fisher wrote the words using Dvorak's tune, wrote these beautiful, evocative words, Going Home, that sounds so much like a real spiritual. He was not African-American, but like Dvorak, he really tapped into the feeling of that. So we invited classes to write their own words to it about their home. Some wrote about literally their house and what it feels like when they haven't been there and wanting to go home. But some of them also wrote about their schools as home. Some of them wrote just about anything. One of them was about a trip to Disney World. So it turns out, you know, you could use the tune for a lot of things. And they submitted those as videos, of which we made compilations that we showed at the concerts. Because at these concerts for schools, we always want to see kids to see themselves in the performance, that it's something they're involved in. They're not just coming as spectators.
Well, have you gotten the sense that this project, this initiative, has brought the Philharmonic closer to the city as a whole? Are you getting that sense?
We're probably the wrong people to ask that question of.
We'd like to say yes.
We're really kind of in the center of it and sometimes feel almost too close to it. I think they're very excited to be a part of this. On opening day of this season for the rehearsal, which was not open to the public, we invited all the groups that had signed up. We only extended the invitation because we only had the idea like the week before, and it's a work day. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, oh, we'd be lucky if we got, you know, maybe 20 people to show up. Well, we had well over 100, 150 people come to that open rehearsal, and they were so excited to just be there and to get kind of this special place within the Philharmonic kind of family and that, and to feel a part of that. So I think we'll have to wait till the end of the season and see what happens at the parks. But that's sort of what's interesting for Ted and I, is to see just how this unfolds. It's also such a kind of big, broad idea. A lot of people have come to us and said, well, what do you think about this? And we say, whatever works for you. The criteria is really pretty small. Just do something from the New World and you'll be a part of it. I can't tell you how many music groups I've learned something about that I never knew about. So the impact on me personally is that I feel much closer to all these different music groups in the city. And I think the level of creativity and imagination and just dedication to being musicians out there is just phenomenal.
It is one of the symphonies that I think a lot of people have asked for their favorite one would point to. Why does it resonate so strongly with us?
It's got great tunes. But why does that Largo theme just like make you well up and cry? You know, you're a composer, Ted. You know, it just boy, it pulls at those heartstrings.
People have really looked at that symphony to figure out what it is that makes it so special. One thing is certainly that the tunes are all great, and there's a huge variety of tunes, and yet they're interrelated with each other. For instance, in the first movement, both of the major tunes use the same rhythm. One goes up and one goes down, but it's the same. There's a unity that he has there. And then the way the themes accumulate as the movements go on until in the finale, you have themes from all the movements going at the same time. There's something kind of very organically psychological about the piece. You know, it really feels like a lived experience. And to have right at the center of it that tune, the Largo tune, that you just don't get tired of it no matter how many times you hear it. It just feels so much like something you grew up with. It, you know, it has that uncanny feeling of something you knew even before you knew it. It does have something special.
It's like going home.
Yeah, you hear that theme and it does feel like going home.
That was my conversation with Ted Wiprud, Vice President of Education at the New York Philharmonic, and Barbara Hawes, the Philharmonic's archivist and historian. The New World Initiative Composition Competition is open to residents of New York City, and the submission deadline is April 14th. More information on the competition, or for other ensembles wishing to participate, as well as a list of upcoming performances related to the New World Initiative, can be found at newworldinitiative.com. You can find the Philharmonic's website at nyphil.org. Each year, the Philharmonic develops a school curriculum to accompany its series of young people's concerts for schools, and this year's theme brought in Dvorak and the search for an American voice in classical music. Among the teachers whose classes participated are fourth grade teacher Stacy Sherman and third grade teacher Kim Schwartz, both from PS 50 on Staten Island. With the assistance of a teaching artist, they have been able to explore with their students Dvorak's life and music, as well as related topics in social studies and reading.
We were able to integrate Dvorak's life and background into the curriculum in fourth grade through geography, and another one of the concentrations in social studies is in immigration. So we talked a lot about coming to a new place from a country and immigrating, and you know what you bring with you as far as your culture and your beliefs and your customs. We did some activities in the classroom, packing a suitcase. We talked about holding on to what we had and trying to establish ourselves in a new place as well.
Kim, was that similar to what you had done, or how did you bring this into the classroom programs?
Our connection was a little bit more abstract in that we connected often to the literature we read. And we read a particular book called The Year of Miss Agnes, which is about a teacher from England who comes to an Alaskan community to basically be their one-room schoolhouse teacher. And it was about her journey and the journey she actually took this community on, because she changed the entire community and basically made it so that they loved learning and even the grown-ups learned from her.
Well, what type of resources did you get from the Philharmonic?
The Philharmonic provides us with a book about the composer's life, and there are lessons that are written on different levels. So there are lessons that elementary school teachers could use, lessons that middle school teachers and high school teachers can use, that really span across the years of the students' experiences. So the Philharmonic is definitely very comprehensive in what they provide us with. And then, of course, we can take that and use that with our students and supplement wherever we can.
And I think a big piece of this puzzle is the collaboration with the teaching artist. I mean, my teaching artist is not the same teaching artist as Stacy's. I think a big piece of it is what, you know, we meet on our time together at lunch when the teaching artist is here, and we plan for the future lessons, and we do things in between our visits. So we do keep that connection going, whether the teaching artist is here or not.
What have you seen in terms of reactions from the students? Have they really gotten or felt connected to this particular aspect of the curriculum this year?
I teach third grade, so this is their first experience with this program, with the recorders, with all of it. And it's the level of excitement is through the roof because it's all new. I feel like the fact that they got to see the in-school concert, they have the teaching artist who's here. We have Ms. Arnold who comes and works with them, you know, a couple of times throughout the year. We have the instrument demo. And then we get to go to Lincoln Center, which is,
huge.
Just in that in of itself, it's such a wonderful experience for them to actually see this world famous, you know, orchestra performing. And it's just like mind blowing to them. And they, and then the recorders, just getting to learn to play the recorders. The elements of excitement is just nothing I can describe.
The way that it that they have brought this into the schools. So in third grade, the kids are first introduced to the recorder. In fourth grade, there's a lot of work in composition and deepening your understanding about musical elements, and then connecting it back to the composer that we study. And also, you know, the visit to the Lincoln Center and seeing the Philharmonic perform. When we go to Lincoln Center, they are really wonderful about integrating student work. So as we study the composer, our kids do artwork, and Kim and I both have had our classes this year create a composition.
We wrote lyrics to a song, the song Home, and then they featured us on the screen. Well,
so it was great.
We had no idea, and I mean, myself and Ms. Sherman on our classes were just in awe to see us up there. The excitement, again, was like just unbelievable.
And as far as musically, was there much brought in about the New World Symphony and the fact that Dvorak came and wrote that here and kind of its significance in the canon of American classical music?
We actually went to a trip at the College of Staten Island to see a performance where they spoke about they taught us about Harriet Tubman, and they sang spirituals, and the children made that connection right there, and that was something we couldn't have planned for. What we often do year to year is make the connection with the focus for the school day concert. So being that the theme is Dvorak, we decided once again to connect it to this text, the story that we read called The Year of Miss Agnes. So we're actually going to tell the story of her journey and the journey she took this community on through music. We're all focused on one story, and we're going to break it up into five parts. And each class will be composing music for that part of that story, and then just learning themes for the characters and how to change up the theme. So the variations to the themes is what we'll be working on, so that not only will the classes be able to compose the music for that piece of the text, but there will be a connection with all of the third grade classes, because those themes will be integrated into all of them.
And in the fourth grade, we're not 100% sure yet, but we're talking about how to maybe base our compositions on immigration. And in the fourth grade, they learn about rondos. And so different classes might be creating different types of pieces based on immigration, but we're still in the revision process for that. We put on an end of year concert for the rest of the grade, so every class in the grade gets to go on the stage and perform what they've composed.
And the families are invited as well.
That was my conversation with Stacy Sherman and Kim Schwartz, teachers at PS 50 in Staten Island, whose classes are participating in this year's New York Philharmonic's Young People's Concert Curriculum, which has been focused on Dvorak's New World Symphony. I hope you enjoy the conversations I bring you each week on A Tempo, as well as all the other programs on the award-winning Classical Network. Remember, these programs are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for joining me for A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. An archive of recent shows can be found anytime at our webcast page at wwfm.org. Join me next week for another look at the changing world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is supported by the listener members of the Classical Network.